Okay, let's get another word though. Enough messing around, eh? The book of Acts is where we're going to land this morning. Whoa, the book of Acts is good. And so as I was saying, my son Emmanuel and I were on a little vacation together, and we're just doing devotions, and I was just reading the scriptures. And we just came across this passage or this thought in the scripture, and we were like, I have a question. And so it's good to question the word and go, what does that mean? And then you can dive a little deeper into it. So I want to share that with you. And so it comes out of the book of Acts chapter 22. And in that context of Acts chapter 22, this individual, Paul, who's written a lot of the New Testament, is being questioned by the people in Jerusalem. And now he's giving his testimony of how he's come to faith in Christ. And so it's many verses in chapter 22, and he's just going on and sharing about what happened in his life. And so we pick it up here in verse 21. It says, then the Lord said to me, this is, again, Paul's testimony as he's sharing about how he got saved. Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Verse 22, the crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him, like with an exclamation point. He's not fit to live, with an exclamation point. This is powerful stuff. As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks, you know, and flinging dust into the air. I hope they weren't downwind, because that can get into your eye. If you ever pin a golf shot and the sand comes up, and it usually gets in your face after, so hopefully that didn't happen. They were just flinging dust into the air. And so what does that mean? Like, we could see really, really clearly here that they were happy to listen until Paul made that statement about, I'm feeling led to go to the Gentiles. Now, to the religious people of that time, that was blasphemy. That was like a sin. How dare you say that? How dare you go to unworthy people, uncircumcised, unholy, unclean people? You know, yes, we heard your testimony, but that is just dead, dead wrong. So we shouldn't do that. And so there's the two things, taking off your jacket, your cloak, and throwing dust into the air. What does that mean here? And so we see in Scripture often when the coat comes off, I want you to think about this. You're there with your kids, or you're somewhere, there's a bunch of rocks. You're like, let's skip some rocks on this lake. And so, you know, you get out there and you get about 5 skips or something. And then the next guy gets about 6 skips. And then, so from us men, we're like, it's game on. Like, bring it on. It's like, your jacket's coming off, man. You're like, you're just like whipping it as fast as you can, trying to get it furthest. Because you've got to get your jacket off to get enough momentum. And so we see in Scripture often they would take their jacket off, because if you're going to pick up a stone and stone somebody, you don't want to break a sweat. You got to get the jacket off. You got to get some momentum. That's terrible to think about, but that's what was happening. So they would take their garment off. And they would often take the people outside of the city when they would do this. Because often inside the city, there's no stones around. There's nothing around to throw. So they take them outside the city, and they would execute them by throwing stones. And sometimes they would even take them to a high place, push them off. And again, you have to get your jacket off, because if you can imagine, you ever done that where you're up somewhere? You know, this is only for guys. I know ladies wouldn't do this usually. Take out the biggest rock you can find, right? And you're like, and your buddy's, watch this, I'll get a bigger rock. And then they would, like, honestly throw it on the guy. They would need both hands to be able to do that. And you wouldn't want to get your jacket dirty. So it's terrible to think about, but those are the kind of things that were happening. That's why they were taking their jacket off. These people were so ticked off at what Paul had said that they were ready to just go to town on this guy. And so here's something very similar we would see in the book of Acts another time. So let's just go back a couple chapters. Acts chapter 7, verse 58. We see here that this gentleman, Saul, is in the story, and we're just reading about him now being someone different. So we see, though, in verse 58, they dragged Stephen out of the city because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. The same kind of people, the same religious people of the law were like listening to Stephen. All of a sudden, he said something, boom, we got to stone this guy who's speaking blasphemy. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. And so again, we see this kind of scenario where it's like, okay, I've got to get my jacket off so I can throw some stones here. We can see in the Old Testament, love the Old Testament. Let's go back there. Exodus. You can see in the Old Testament, very similar stories. This was happening on a continual basis. You know, we live in the world today where it's very different. I don't think anybody's getting stoned to death too often anymore. But still, people are getting very upset and doing very violent things to each other, obviously with different weapons we see today. But back in the Old Testament here, in Exodus chapter 17, verse 4, it's speaking about Moses here. And the people are unhappy with his leadership. And it says here, then Moses cried out to the Lord, What am I to do with these people? These are your people, Lord. They are almost ready to stone me. Isn't that interesting? You know, sometimes we like Moses, like, he's going to lead us out. He's going to save us. Now we're out. And all of a sudden, there's a turn of events, and now they're ready to just disown their leader and execute him. You're thinking, wow, how did that happen so quickly? And how often we can quickly just change our thoughts. And so in Numbers, let's just look at another one here. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 10. It says, but the whole assembly talked about stoning them. You see, Joshua and Caleb go into the promised land. It's just milk and honey. And the Lord's going to move us into this promised land. Praise God, here we go. They come back with a report. The people are like, this is what they say to them. And the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting of all the Israelites. So why again? Like, that's a positive thing. And then they just want to just kind of shut that up. They don't want to listen anymore to that voice. They're just going to quiet that voice up by stoning him. And then the last one here is in 2 Chronicles. We pick up a story of Zechariah here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 21. But they plotted against him, so they plotted against Zechariah. And by the order of the king, they stoned him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. Now, in all the stories thus far to this point, they've taken them out and stoned them. Now, in this story, they did it in the Lord's house. Like there is something that is on a different level now. When they would typically at least, you know, somewhat respect or honor the Lord's temple or his courtyard. But this time, they had no regard for, you know, forget God. I don't know where God is. Who cares? We're going to do all evil in the Lord's eyes. And they execute somebody right in God's house. Like, that's pretty intense. And so, I mean, these people are far off at that point. But again, they laid their clothes off. They were doing this physical, strenuous exercise. They had to take their outer garments off. It was like customary even when you would exercise. So for us, locally here, you would take out your shovel and you go out in your driveway and you'd shovel the snow. Let me kind of rephrase that, actually. Last year, you took out your shovel and you should, like, I don't know what happened to this year, but anyways. You would shovel your driveway, and typically I would go out, I got the big parka on, I've got the mitts on, I've got the toque on, I got the scarf on, and you start shoveling. And, you know, at some point you're like, okay, toque's off, you know, something, you get a little bit hotter, gloves are off, and by the end of it, your jacket's off. Because it's strenuous, it's hard work. And so in the same way though, when they were throwing stones, it was hard work. I don't want to visualize too much, but I cannot imagine taking enough stones or hitting them enough times that you would die. Like, ooh. I've actually been hit several times on the head with a stone. It hurts so bad. I was climbing a cliff in Prince Rupert years ago, and when I was younger, and a buddy of mine was above me. We were climbing someplace with no ropes, and we were young. We were just, you know, we were fearless, right? And all of a sudden, he goes, watch out! And I'm like, what do you mean, watch out? Like, what am I supposed to do? Let go of the rock or, like, you know, move over? Or so I look up, and his foot slips, and a big boulder, bonk, right off my head. Like, oh, my word. So, you know, what happens is, like, this warm sensation where blood is just now gushing down my face because your head just bleeds like, you know, nobody's business. And so I have to get down off the cliff without, you know, passing out or whatever was happening. But that was one stone. Like, I can't imagine multiple. Like, you would work up a sweat. Like, it's disturbing to think about. In that place in the world, it's warm. And it would be, you know, almost unbearable. So you'd have to do this act. And it's just so unpleasant to think about. I apologize again, all negative. I promise you, we're gonna turn the corner. But you've got to understand this stuff. You've got to understand scripturally what's going on here. Let's look at the other angle Or we would say, well, let's flip the coin. And we see the negative side of taking the cloak off. Let's find scripturally why it's so important to do it right. They were doing it wrong. They were doing it for the wrong reasons. They were upset. They were angry. Cloaks coming off. Like, have you ever had something happen to you where you're like, okay, don't freak out. Don't overreact. Don't blow a gasket. You're just on the verge of just like, I'm like, somebody's going to have something here. We've got to be able to handle that. And so here we go. Here's the positive side here. Let's look at two stories. So in 2 Kings, so we'll stay in the Old Testament for a second, and then we'll jump into a New Testament story. So in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, we're reading about all these kings, and a new king is anointed, almost like Amelie was reading this morning. His head was anointed with oil. And then the people find out that he's the king, and so that says this: they hurried and took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, Jehu is king. There's a positive way to do this, right? We see, like, there's the new king. We are going to honor him. There's Jesus Christ. We are going to honor him. We're going to lay off our will, our agenda, our identity, because we want Christ to be our identity. And so we do that. It's such a positive thing, right? Let's go to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 21. We know this triumphal entry that Jesus made into Jerusalem. And in verse 7, it says, they brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. So again, we do that so that we're servants, we're humble, we're wanting to honor. It says in verse 8, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road so that Jesus could walk across them. We see often we have these kind of stories that you see a puddle and somebody's coming, you're like, oh, I'm going to take my cloak off, I'm going to lay it on the puddle so that their feet wouldn't get wet. And that's the kind of humility that we want to see in us, as Christians, as a church, versus just blowing a gasket like these guys were, just freaking out. How do we do it right? How do we respond positively in a difficult situation? And so here's the part that, we may have known a lot of that stuff. Yeah, okay, Pastor, I kind of get that cloak. I mean, I've read a lot about that. The dust in the air, that's what I really want to land on just for a second. So these people are just raging mad. They're just like, somebody spoke in blasphemy, like we're going to freak out. And in the courtyard, again, probably no stones around. So what are they going to do? So instead of throwing stones at Paul, they just start throwing dust in the air. You know, they're just so upset. Like, I don't know if in your life, I'm just the one only guilty. Why am I the only one that messes around with things? But, like, I've probably thrown something or been so upset that after it happens, you're like, wow, I really lost my cool on that one. I need to kind of be aware. And so these people were doing the same things. I can't imagine later on, you got some witnesses. What are these clowns doing over there throwing dust in the air? Like, you know, what's going on over there? And so these people were just out of control. The religious leaders listened to Paul's testimony again until he talked about going to the Gentiles, which was blasphemy. So they honestly went berserk. It was like a violent, uncontrolled passion that they were like, this is a mountain we will die on. That's just wrong, and we will not stand for it. And again, Paul is like not just right here. We can throw a stone at him or drag him outside. He's in the custody of the soldiers at the point. So they can't even get to him. So they're just so frustrated. I can't even fix the problem. I can't even get to the problem. And so they're just completely out of control. Again, throwing dust into the air instead of stones. So as Christians, we got to, again, we flip the coin. We see, okay, that's the negative way. That's the not positive. What do we do? How do we handle that? And what are we passionate about? What mountains are we dying on? What things are we not okay with? And so when I think about when we encounter evil, when we encounter things that are just so ungodly, what do we do? Like, are you going to throw stones at that thing? Are you going to throw some dust in the air? Are you going to take your coat off and just start kind of give them a 1-2? Like in your home is a sacred, safe. When something enters that place or something is done in that place, are we passionate like that? Are we like, I'm not going to stand for that. That is not going to happen. But when you're in your workplace, in your school, community, or country, are there certain things that we're like, that's actually a mountain for me? And I don't want to list any of them. We all are passionate. God's put passions in our hearts for reasons. But again, what do you do with that? Because there are things that, let's say, it's injustice, and you're not satisfied. You're like, what is going on here? And so what do we do about it? Do we just kind of lose control? When Emmanuel and I were down south, there's huge meridians on these like eight-lane highways, and you come up to a stop sign, and you would see this in Vancouver often. You stop at a light, then sometimes somebody would come along with a squeegee or a little sign that would say, hey, I need help, or I'm homeless or something. And so we stopped at this, we didn't stop. We drove by. We didn't have time to stop because it was a green light. But I'm driving by and I'm watching this lady. So she must have had the sign. You know, everyone stopped and you kind of go from car to car like, hey, help, help, help. And so then it's the green light. Then, oh, I got to reset. You go back to the beginning of the meridian, right? And wait for this red light again. And she's walking back and she has her young daughter with her, man. I was broken. I'm trying to drive and not cry because I'm thinking about this young daughter is learning how to beg. What kind of gifts does that girl have? What kind of abilities has God given this young girl? And I'm not sure if she'll ever be able to put them into practice because she's just trying to put food in her mouth. And it burdens me. And so I feel like, you know, I don't know how to fix that. I don't even know if I'm asking the right questions. But that I want to think about. I want to see change in some capacity, and how can I be a part of change? I don't know. But I want us to be passionate about things that are scriptural, things that are valuable, things that, you know, matter, things that where people are mistreated and those kind of things. And so what do we do about that? And what happens when those injustices and you're being mistreated and it feels like stones are being thrown at you and dust is being thrown in your eye? How do we respond? What do we say? And so let me look at some scriptures here with you. Let's go back to the Old Testament one more time. 2 Samuel chapter 16. We got David here again. David's always getting in trouble for stuff, right? So we see David here. It says, verse 13, it says, so David and his men continued along the roadside. Well, Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went, throwing stones at him, and showering him with dirt. If somebody was doing that to my kid, like somebody's going to, you know, be on the ground pretty quick. So we want to, like, how do I respond to that? Like, this is unjust. This is not okay. But look at the verse prior to this. Look at the heart. Heart of this thing. It may be that the Lord will see my distress and have vengeance on that person and throw a stone at them, right? And repay me with good for the cursing I'm receiving today. The Lord will take care of us. The Lord will repay for you. The Lord will bless you. And we think, well, I want it on the earth, Lord. And it might not happen on this earth, but I promise you in heaven, you will be rewarded and blessed for the things that come against you. It's not your fight. You don't have to defend yourself. God is big enough for his word. He's big enough to handle every situation. So how do we handle it when it comes our way? When we're feeling like we want to take our jacket off in frustration, there are things that we should stand upon, the things that we should stand against. If we're ever going to take our jackets off for the right reasons, for godly reasons, I pray, oh God, that we would all, like we read, we would lay our jackets down. We'd lay our cloaks down. We would lay our stones down. And then we would pick up Jesus would pick up his ways. As people laid their cloaks down on the donkey so that Jesus could sit upon it. As people laid their cloaks down so Jesus could enter into Jerusalem. That we would say, God, I don't know what that situation was or how to handle it, but would you help that situation? Would you guide me on what to do and what to say and how to handle it? Because I don't want to be angry. I don't want to respond like these people and just, you know, freak out and go berserk and go crazy. God, I want to handle it well. I want there to be a positive outcome. And we can't do it on our own. We have to lay ourselves down and pick up the cross, pick up Jesus, and let that lead us. I hope that really resonates with you and makes sense and it makes it simple in the sake. What do we need to learn from that scripture? We need to learn what not to do, and we need to learn how to do it God's way. Why is it important? What happens if we don't do anything about it? What happens if we just keep doing the same thing? You know, we were learning this morning for weeks on end now in a prayer, intercessory prayer teaching. It's powerful. If you missed out, the next time I run it, you don't want to take it. It's a checkbox. It's one of those top tens you want to take. And he's talking about this idea of when we pray, things shift, things move. And so when we see things that we're not okay with and we're upset with and we think is blasphemy, then we pray about the situation. We say, God, in Jesus' name, would you intervene in that situation? Would the things that these people are addicted to or are doing that seem so wrong, would that be broken in Jesus' name? These are the kind of ways that we throw stones. We throw stones on our knees and we're praying. You want calluses on your hands from throwing stones? You want calluses on your knees because you're praying on your knees. That something would change in Jesus' name. There are so many things that we're not okay with. And then we talk about it. Great. But I want to be a church that does something about it. I want to see a church that sees change in our community, change in the people that come through our doors when they're set free in Jesus' name. Imagine somebody coming addicted to something in this world and they walk in and boom, they're free in Jesus' name. You have stories. Half of you are this way. You were away, you worshiped a certain way, you acted a certain way, and then Jesus showed up in your life, and things were radically different. And you know a big reason why? It's yes, Jesus on the cross, yes, the scripture. I understand all of that, but it's the power of prayer. Many of you are sitting here because somebody else prayed for you. Let's continue that and continue to pray and believe that God will continue to see change in all the things that we're encountering that we feel frustrated with. Don't lose your cool. Don't turn to the wrong things. Turn to God. Turn to his ways. Turn to prayer in Jesus' name. Oh, I hope that resonates with you. Love the scriptures, eh? Let me just close in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we just pray right now in Jesus' name that if there's anyone here that, this is frustrating, man. I just feel that anger, that injustice, the way you've been treated, the way you've been handled. I felt that for so many years. But then you freed me from that, Father. You said that you would take care of me. You would take care of that situation. So we entrust you with it. We put it at the foot of the cross, Father. We can't handle this anymore. I don't want to think about it anymore. I don't even want to go another day with it. And God, we know that you can handle it. We know that you can free us from it. We know that you're the answer. And Father, as we see things that are very ungodly and unscriptural and unbiblical, God, I pray that we would still love people. We would hate sin, but we would love the sinner. Give us big hearts. Help us to rearrange our time so that we have more time to pray, more time to dive into your word. God, would you just shift some of our thinking? God, you say to renew our minds. God, we want to renew part of our mind here this morning. We don't want to leave here the same. We don't want to act the same. We don't want to respond the same. We want to pray to God. We want to look to his word. We want to be led by him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.